Thought for today. Growing a money tree is lots of fun when you have the right fertilizer. Growing a money tree is lots of fun when you have the right fertilizer. Growing a money tree is lots of fun when you have the right fertilizer. Now, what's a money tree? A money tree is a symbolic tree. It represents everything good and beautiful. It's the next thing to being a Midas. And King Midas wasn't all that great, remember? King Midas loved gold so much that he wanted to have everything he touched turned to gold. And so it did. And everything he touched turned to gold. He touched his castle, it turned to gold. He touched his food, it turned to gold. I don't know how he got anything down to eat, but maybe he didn't need it anymore. But the thing that was the most terrible for him, he could not love his daughters. And one day he hugged his daughter, and she turned to gold. And then he realized that all the gold in the world was not important to him, as was the love of his daughter. And that instant, everything turned back to a normal. Now, it could have been a dream in King Midas's mind. It could have been a fairy tale. It could have been anything. But remember, fairy tales always have a happy ending. So, we can have our life be a fairy tale. No matter what it is we do, we can have a happy ending. We don't need stories with realistic endings, because what is realistic? Realistic is just someone who hasn't thought about the beginning and the end of their story. Now, had you thought that King Midas, realizing that he had lost the most precious thing in the world, his daughter, because of his avarice, his greed for gold, the Beauty and the Beast, did you see it? What did happen to the Beauty and the Beast? The Beauty was such a unconditionally loving lady, a girl of magnificence, and the Beast was a thoughtless, inconsiderate boor who wanted everything his way, who thought he could bulldoze his way through everything. But he had to find his true love, and in the end, he found his true love. Whether he had her for his wife or not, whether he kept her in the palace or not, he loved her so much, he was willing to let her go, and he's willing to fight for her. Not to claim her, but as he would understand it, to protect her and give to her. And then voila! He turned back into the beautiful prince that he was, and she fell in love with him again, and they lived happily ever after. Good fairy tale stuff. Well, now, our life is just like that. We have our money trees. They're all around us. It's our values. What do we think are our values in life? What do we think are the things that are important to us? Do we think the things that are important to us are our money, like King Midas? If we think that's important, we may get all we can handle and more. But if what we think is important is to live a happy, harmonious, joyful, balanced, peaceful, all sorts of other good things, life. Did I mention one word that would cost you money? Does it cost money to be balanced? Does it cost money to be peaceful? Does it cost money to be joyous? Does it cost money to be loved? Does it cost money to do any of these wonderful attitudes? No, it doesn't. And when you have money, like King Midas, you sometimes forget your values. You don't have to. That doesn't go hand in hand, but it could. Money is evil, says the Bible. Does it? Does anyone know the correct quotation for that? The root The desire for money is evil. The desire for money, not the money. Because everyone has all the money they can use or they can ever want. Whatever you really desire, you can have it. Oh, I have to have money for an operation for my mother. No, you don't. Your mother may want the operation and may want to pay for it, but you don't have to have the money for the operation for your mother. You just say to yourself, my mother has the perfect operation, or she doesn't even need it. But my mother has the perfect operation that I choose to have her have, and she chooses to have. Now, where's the money going to come from? Do you think that these people who have all these massive brain operations and heart operations and whatever kind of operations of this and that and the other, that they pay for? No way. That's hundreds of thousands of dollars. It may take the money they have. It may take their life savings and so forth. But it doesn't begin to pay for it. Why do they even think that it takes their life savings? Why don't they just know that whatever is necessary is done? And then whatever is necessary is done, it's over, and there is no debt. But you see, we think money is something that other people have. We think that money is something that's in the bank. Money is something, and you know what money really is? It's just paper. It's just paper. Mark had a girlfriend, Peggy, and when she was a little girl, her parents wisely saved money for her by putting it in stocks and bonds. And over the years, the stocks and bonds went up and down, but mainly up. And today, she is a very wealthy young lady with adequate funds to live comfortably without working if she chooses, doing anything she wants, having all of her charities that she loves, and Greenpeace and everything else. But just because her parents, who were not wealthy people, they were intelligent, they took a little bit of money for their daughter and put it in stocks and bonds every single week or month. And when she was ready to go out on her own, go to college, which she did, money was there to pay for everything. They didn't just put it in savings for 5% or whatever. They put it in something that they believed in. And today, it's trebled, multiplied many times over. You see, you don't have to be rich to be rich. You live in an attitude of abundance. Now, what is the kind of fertilizer that a money tree needs for us to have the abundance that we choose to have to buy our yacht, to have our house with a picket fence around it? What is it? It's the mental coin. It's our mental attitude. It's what we think in our mind. Now, what do you think in your mind about what is valuable for you? What do you think in your mind is something that you would really like to have? You'd like to have a beautiful house. Let's say Sylvia's little house with a white picket fence around it. There she is working in her garden. Not a care in the world. Nothing to demand her attention except whatever she chooses to think about. In the evening, she sits before the fire with her feet up, reading a book, enjoying herself. In the morning, she gets up and has her cup of tea, looks out the window at her hyacinths and her dahlias and her daffodils, her crocuses and her rosebuds, and she thinks, isn't life wonderful? And then at noon, after she's had her lunch, she takes her basket. She walks to the market, which is only a few blocks down the street, but she lives out of town. She lives in a beautiful meadow with lovely trees around it, standing, shading her beautiful, wonderful plot of land that she has. And it's not on a road where cars travel. It's just a path that you walk on. And so it's always peaceful and quiet. And she doesn't have a television. She doesn't have a radio. She has her music, her CD player and so forth. And she listens to lovely music that pleases her. And friends come to visit occasionally, and they'll sit at her feet, and she'll say, you know, everything's all right now. And she'll be a counselor. And the people will say, oh, Sylvia, you have made my life such a fulfilled experience. Thank you so much. And she will benignly look at them and say, oh, yes, I bless you. Peace. Go in peace now. And they get up after they genuflect before her, and they walk out the door backwards, and then they go down the path singing, zippity-doo-da, zippity-day, oh, my, what a wonderful day. And all because they had talked to Sylvia. Now, isn't this ideal and lovely? Is it possible that it could happen that way? Certainly. It depends on Sylvia. But if Sylvia is going to feel sorry for herself that she doesn't have it, if she's going to feel sorry for herself that she would like to have it but can't, she is taking the creative juices of her system and dumping them down the toilet. Anytime you feel sorry for yourself, you're taking the genius that you are and stifling it. You know, you choke the genius. But when you say, this is my dream, not bad. Did I miss anything, Sylvia? Not bad, huh?
Good start.
But you see, continue with that. The little boy who wants a horse, he never stops recognizing that there's a place in his yard for the horse. He doesn't care. He doesn't care that a horse has to be fed, be curried. He doesn't care that its hoofs have to be trimmed, that it has to put shoes on the horse. He doesn't care that the saddle is so big he can't even lift it. He doesn't care about those things. Hey, I want a horse. And he gets a horse. And they live in the city. And they can't keep the horse in the city. So they have the horse on the farm just outside the city, about 2 blocks away. And he goes out there every day after school. And he plays with his horse. And he loves his horse. He becomes a horse whisperer. And the horse is his. And he and the horse are one. And he's too small to put the saddle on, but he's not too small to get himself on. And he gets a ladder, and he climbs up there and gets on that horse. And he kicks the ladder away. And he holds on to the mane. He doesn't even have a bridle. And he says to the horse, you and I are one. Now make sure I stay up here. And so the horse gently moves around with him. It's his consciousness. He is putting the proper type of fertilizer on his dream. And that fertilizer is confidence, expectation, love, appreciation, dreaming it. Sylvia has her little white picket fence around her dream home. She's seen it in the British movies. And it's real. It's real for her. When she goes to sleep at night, she says, I'm back in paradise again. When she wakes up in the morning, she says, that was a good night. Now I'm ready to do the things I want to do here. But what kind of fertilizer are you giving your dream? Is her fertilizer for her dream just a dream? Just to be something of a fantasy? Not what she might call reality, the illusion of reality? Is Ellen's yacht a joke? She sees four people running the yacht and a captain. She sees staterooms for everyone who is attending seminars aboard the yacht. She sees the yacht sailing wherever she sees it sailing, and everyone having a good time. She sees everyone learning and growing and having a beautiful experience with the seminars. She probably even sees herself giving the seminars. That's lovely. She probably thinks of herself as another Terry Cole Whitaker, dynamic, forceful, outgoing woman who's self-confident, believes in herself 100%. You see, you can believe in yourself 100%. You can think everything is beautiful, and that's great. But when Herb Byerly comes along and pushes your button, do you still think that it's great, or do you get angry? Don't say such terrible things to me. Don't talk to me like that. And instead of saying that, you should say, ah, button pushing time. Let's see, I master myself. I agree with my adversary. You know, all the little things you learn. And then, shazam, the button becomes a love button, and we become master of ourselves. What kind of fertilizer do you put on your money tree? You put the fertilizer that, well, I haven't got it. Well, other people got it, but I don't. Well, the market's unstable. Well, market is stable. What are you going to say? Do you know that millions upon millions of people make money when the market goes down? Because everything doesn't go down. They have invested in wise investments. They have a diversified portfolio, so to speak. They have investments in things that up and down and in and out. Jeff always says, now we'll put you in some bonds here so that in the beginning of the year where the stocks are a little unstable, the bonds will be stable. And so he's always done that, and we've always had a nice, secure portfolio. Okay, what about your portfolio? Do you have a Jeff to fertilize your portfolio? Do you have someone to come along and advise you of the right thing to do? And who should that advisor be, Anita?
Me.
Me, yes, you, ourself. The advisor should be ourself. And that's why we want to train ourselves so we will be good advisors. Train ourselves that we will put the right type of fertilizer on our money tree. The right type of fertilizer, the right type of thought that's going to make it grow and expand beyond our wildest imagination. Now, we have a young friend who has been writing to us lately, and the friend has been saying, I don't feel like a master. I don't feel like a monk. I don't feel like I'm worthy of these things. Okay. That person is not worthy of them. They are not a master. They are not a monk. They are not a good person. Because they say they're not a good person. They're not a master. They're putting that fertilizer on their structure. Why should they do that? Because they're feeling sorry for themselves right now. When they're not feeling sorry for themselves, man, they're fantastic. They glow and shine like the brightest star of the heavens. They fertilize themselves with the recognition that they're fabulous people. Now, are you fabulous people? Are you always fertilizing your consciousness with the truth about yourself, that you're wonderful, you're good? When the market is down, what do we say? Oh, God, the market's down, everything's going to pot. No, we don't say that. Ellen, what do we say?
Independent U.S., our stocks and bonds are stable and higher terms.
Come on, Glenn. Stephen.
Our stocks and bonds are stable, high return.
Our stocks and bonds are stable, high-return investment. We don't say, oh, my God, it's going down. Our stocks and bonds are stable, high-return investment. We speak the truth. If you're going into your little child's room and the kid has a heavy fever, and, I mean, it's way up there, and the doctors say he'll pass the crisis soon, and the crisis means he'll either die or live, and so you go in there and you say, don't die, don't die, don't die, don't die. If the kid lives with that sort of attitude around, he really is powerful. But why don't you give him a little helping hand? Say, son, you're a beautiful being. I love you. I see you whole and perfect now. I see every organ, action, function of your body whole and perfect. I see all the white corpuscles just going to work inside of you just saying, Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go. And sing it to your child. And sing it to yourself. With hey and hi and hey and hi, hi-ho, 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 hi-ho. And what would happen? You get goosebumps all over you. You're a little kid. He may be in a coma. He may be out of it. But he feels that. He knows that. His consciousness is aware of everything that's going on. And when he sees his happy mother, oh, dear, my child, oh, you're hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go. The white corpuscles are doing their job, hi-ho, hi-ho, hi-ho. Yes. Oh, Herb, that is silly. Yeah, it is, isn't it? But isn't it wonderful? If every mother could do that for their child, man, that kid would jump out of bed and say, Mommy! I want to go and work with the four dwarfs. Yes. I want to be part of that show. Great, 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 great. Son, you just had a terrible thing. Mommy, I'm all right. Son, you just... Mommy, I'm all right. You said I'm all right. The white corpuscles just went in there and did a good job. Mommy, don't you believe? Oh, no, but you must lay down and rest now because after such a trip, Mommy, I'm all right. And what do? We persist in planting garbage. We persist in putting fertilizer of limitation. Don't do that. Believe. If you have treated that your son, your loved one, anything that you work on, is whole and perfect, that the white corpuscles went in there and just cleaned up the whole mess, and everything is perfect, then act like it. Act like, you know, you guys, all the world, for centuries, the doctors have said, after this operation, you lay down in bed for 2 weeks and don't move. After this, you do that. After that, you lay down, lots of rest, lots of rest, lots of rest. Well, what are they doing now? Up and out. You have an operation, out. If you're strong enough to walk, go home. Get out of here. Is it because it costs too much in the hospital? No, it's another interesting situation. The hospital wants to dump you out as quick as possible because they've got other patients that want to come in, and they need that bed. So really, you never really needed to stay in the hospital. It's just that the hospitals needed you to have the beds filled to pay the bills. You know? Isn't it interesting how things are done for these various purposes? And we think the doctors are being so kind. No, don't get up. You stay right there now. It'll be maybe a couple of weeks yet, you know, and maybe longer. It's interesting, isn't it? And isn't it interesting how people have to fight to die? I'm signing this paper, doctor. I don't want you to put any life support systems on my body. Once I decide that I want to go, let me go. And they have to sign a paper. They have to be in sound mind. Sometimes they even have to have their relatives sign it, too. And when you want to go, you want to go. And you don't want to make a big thing about it. Well, we didn't put the life support on there because she didn't want to have it on there. And, you know, it's not our fault. Not our fault. We could have kept her alive. We could have kept her breathing. We could have kept her with a dead brain. We could have kept her going. Well, thanks a lot, you know. But if the husband were to come into his wife's room and she wanted to die, why did she want to die? Because her body was not a harmonious thing to live in. And he could say, dear, I release you to die. I release you to die. Go and greet the light. Go and find the peace within yourself. What a jerk. He is to go within and say, Derek, you're beautiful. I see you whole and perfect. I see every organ, action, function in your body whole and perfect. I see you dancing in the light of the sun, not the light of death. I see you enjoying your family. I see you living a long, happy life. And the moment you choose to go, snap, you go. No hospital, no pain, no sorrow. But as long as you want to live, sweetheart, you live in a perfect, wonderful body. I see you living in that body now, now and forevermore. And you say, but if she wants to die, she didn't want to die. She just didn't want to live in that uncomfortable body. And you didn't do any help with her. How do you feel today, sweetheart? Are you all right? Instead of saying, well, my beloved, you look wonderful. She looks a little haggard, but you look wonderful. My goodness, you are looking better every day. You are such a glorious person. I'm around you, and I feel, wow, if I can keep up with the steam you're putting forward, you're fantastic. You know, Pumpkinhead, every organ action function in your body is perfect. Every organ action function in your body is perfect. Every organ action function in your body is perfect. Now, I tell you about people with illnesses, and I tell you people have a right to die, and I tell you all these things. But I also will tell you this once again. Every one of us is the creator of our world. And we created these dead people in our world. And we created these live people in our world. We created these people in our world who want to die. And we create these people in our world who want to live. They have no rights whatsoever in our world except what we give them. But Herb, that is really tough. That is, isn't it? It's done unto you according to your belief. Now, if it's done unto you according to your belief, then isn't it your belief that makes a difference? Why are you giving up? Why are you saying, well, cancer's eating you up, so I guess you want to go? No, cancer's not eating them up and they want to go. We are creating the cancer in their body that's eating them up. We are creating them wanting to go. Why are we doing such a terrible thing? Oh, man, Herb, that's a heavy-duty thing. Yes, it is, isn't it? Are you master of your world? Are you the creator of everything that's in your world? Are you the creator of every person in your world and every circumstance in your world? And your mom, how is she? Fabulous, right? Full of spit and vinegar. She's out having a ball. And every time she calls you on the phone, she says, man, what a daughter you are. All the rest of my kids are fantastic, but what a daughter you are. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, yeah? Every time she calls you. And she calls you as often as she can because she likes the inflow of your dynamic attitude about yourself and her. I like that. Mm-hmm. Now, what about your nephew? What sort of a jerk is he? He's whole and perfect, right? He's dynamic. He's intelligent. He's a genius, right? Everything he does is gentle and loving and kind. His mother thinks, man, if he were only a man and not related to me, I'd love to marry that kid, you know. But she's created him to be a beautiful being, and she can create another man in her life to be equally beautiful if such is her choice. She doesn't have to go out and take the run of the mill. She should create if she wants to. She said, my man is like this and like this and like this and like this. Oh, my man's perfect. I now have the perfect husband. I now have the perfect relationship. I now have the perfect friend. Right? Isn't that nice? Okay. Now, what about your mommy? Is she going to go through the rest of her life just looking at other men and other relationships and thinking, yes, that's nice. Yes, they can have a second marriage, but I'm devoted to my husband like hell. She had her husband. She married him. She lived with him. They had wonderful children. He's gone now, and she's a free spirit ready to have some more new experiences. Maybe second time around she'll find that there's a lot more to marriage than she ever knew before because she was so busy raising children. Now she has time to spend making love. You know, love your parents. You too, Stefan. To see your mom with some handsome young swain, her same age, of course, and having a ball, or who says her same age, whatever she likes, you know? Kind of hard to think of, isn't it? You know, that's great. But visualize everyone in our world free and able to have all the glorious adventures they want and see them living in a dynamic body. Is your mother whole and perfect?
Yes.
Fantastic. Yours?
Yes.
Yours?
Yeah.
Yours?
Yes.
All the rest of you disposed of your mothers. But that's okay. Are your children fantastic? Is your brothers and sisters and whoever you got left fantastic?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. And what about you, Ingeborg? Is everybody in your world fantastic, oh, Ingeborg?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes, I am.
And you are too. Well, that's okay too. Keep it at home and enjoy it. So, growing a money tree is lots of fun when you have the right fertilizer. We talked about it. Growing a money tree is lots of fun when you have the right fertilizer. Growing a money tree is lots of fun when you have the right fertilizer. Amen.